This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Welcome to Covered in Pet Hair, a boozy show for pet lovers on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet lover and dog mom, cat mom, who's going to teach us all about how she lives in a cabin in the woods and adventures with her pet. I will tell you all about her and celebrate Halloween and Dia de los Muertos with you as soon as we come back from these messages from our sponsors.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I have the pleasure of having a drink and a chat with a pet parent, an entrepreneur. She's a writer, a pet industry creator, a blogger, and a vlogger. She's an adventure seeker, a road tripper, a craft beer lover. She's a coffee connoisseur. She's wife to John, dog mom to Daviana. I put that Latin accent over the wrong place, didn't I? She is dog mom to Daviana, Indiana, and a dog that I just met named Lucifer. She's also cat mom to Pippin and Jinx, who I have not yet met, but I'm hoping will make a cameo. She is known as the SEO geek, and she's the director of content and SEO for BlogPaws. They are an amazing organization. If you're not familiar, look them up. She's also the founder and CEO of the Cass Pack, a pet-friendly outdoor travel community. She's Britt Kashiak. Why didn't I ask this before we started recording? I should have I asked all the questions, but I didn't ask how to pronounce your last name. Britt, I'm so sorry. Say that again so I can get it right.
Kashiak.
So Cass Pack, Kashiak. I got it. Welcome.
Thank you.
It is so good to finally have you on the show. We've been talking about it. So here we are. And you and I both love Halloween. So it was like a match made in heaven to invite you to be my Halloween guest for this Halloween episode of 2023. It's one of my favorite episodes to do every year. So how is spooky season going so far?
Oh, spooky season is incredible here. So as you mentioned, I do live in a cabin in the woods. So we have nothing else around us. Like, I'm in the middle of 100 acres of woodland. So it's like spooky season all the time here. It almost feels like you're in a horror movie, but in the best way possible.
I don't know that I could do it, but I have nothing but respect for those who are such adventurers that they would choose to live in a cabin. I love the cabin life, like for a weekend or a week maybe, but I don't know that I love the woods enough to live there.
Oh, we adore it. It is a little bit more work in some aspects because, like, my house is wood heated. So if I don't keep the wood stove going, then the house gets cold.
And you're in Canada?
Yes. Yeah. I'm in Ontario, Canada.
So it gets cold there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We get enough snow that, like, last winter, they actually shut all our streets down in the entire county. Like, you were literally trapped at home for 2 days.
Okay, that's the only thing I like about snow days is being trapped at home. Like, so long as you have electricity, of course, to watch TV. Otherwise, terrible. But yeah, I'm not woods. I'm not snow. I grew up in Miami, you know, I live by the mountains now, and that's like an escape from what I'm used to. But I want to dig into all of your adventures, everything that you do with your dogs, and how you became the adventure guru. But before we do that, I want to introduce our drinking game. So anybody at home participating in our drinking game, boozy pet lover, not so boozy pet lover, grab a drink, play along anytime you hear this word.
The secret word is Lucifer.
Take a drink of whatever you're enjoying. But please be over 21 in the U.S. to partake in an alcoholic beverage. Never drink and drive and always drink responsibly. So are you joining us with a drink today from the cabin in the woods?
Oh, you bet I am. I have Coffin Ridge Back from the Dead Red in my skull wine glass.
I love it. I love it. Of course she would come representing with the, what is it? The dead,
Coffin
what's it,
Ridge, dead red? Back from the Dead Red.
Back from the Dead Red. I've never heard of it, but they get an A plus for the name. I love that so much. I'm actually having a boozy drink as well. This is a Bruja and tonic, so a gin and tonic, but it's made with Empress gin that is purple. I'll show you the bottle. Ooh. It's right here. So Empress gin is indigo gin, and it's like purplish blue, and I have this in it to chill it because I might need a refill. But I made it a Bruja and tonic just because I came back from Spain recently. I'm in a Catrina costume right now, like a full Catrina costume, which is from Mexico, not from Spain. Let's not mix up the cultures. But I figured a Bruja, which I've been accused of being, would be the perfect drink today. So here's to you. Are you a witchy type too?
Oh, yes, I am. Most definitely.
Cheers to Bruja.
Cheers. I've got my pentagram on.
Oh my gosh. I'm telling you, this was like meant to be. The witches all convened so that we could do this together today. So I'm so excited. Halloween, as you can tell, is something I love. You love it too. Oh, and yeah. The first thing I want to get to know is just how, like, your love of Halloween in a game called Halloween History. So basically, this is just about you. So I can learn about you and your experiences on Halloween and your opinions about Halloween things. So, are you ready to play?
You bet.
All right, let's do this. So, the best Halloween party you've ever attended.
Ooh, that's difficult. But I think it would have to be my first year university. They held this really big, like, dress-up costume for charity. And my friends and I showed up dressed as the Spice Girls and literally did a full performance for it. We were, like, the entertainment. Because I went to school for music performance. So, we were the entertainment.
I would have never guessed that. But I love it so much. I'm actually hosting a slumber party for a bunch of women this weekend in El Paso. And I got these skull glasses for everybody at the dollar spot. And so that nobody would get confused with whose glass is whose, I made little laminated stickers of witches and I named them after the Spice Girls. So we have Ginger.
That is awesome.
We have Ginger Bruja, we have Posh Bruja, we have all the Brujas inspired by the Spice Girls. Oh my gosh, who's that?
It's Lucifer.
Lucifer has entered the building.
In the middle of everything.
He's so sweet. I love him so much. I love that he's like, what's going on? I'm joining this party.
Hey, buddy. You say hi to everybody.
Hi, beautiful. Oh my gosh, he's so cute. Okay, next question. What is your favorite Halloween movie?
Ooh, that's challenging. Although Nightmare Before Christmas holds a special place in my heart.
See, I've never seen that one.
Oh, you have to watch it.
I know, I do. We're going to start some Halloween movies here with my kids. Is it too scary for a 6 and a 4-year-old? Okay. All right, good. I will have to say that mine is Hocus Pocus. The redo, I thought that was so good.
They did a really good job with that.
They did. And honestly, I just love the actors. Mm-hmm. Okay. Next one. Favorite Halloween song.
Ooh. Well, it depends. It depends on what I'm going for. If you want to do like mainstream music that you can use for Halloween, I Put a Spell on You has always been a favorite of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But the theme song, This is Halloween from Nightmare Before Christmas, is also a lot of fun.
So good. I do know and love that song. Okay, next one. What is your favorite Halloween character? I feel like I already know the answer.
Jack Skellington. Actually, it's Zero, Jack's dog. But
oh yes, he's so cute. I hear that. All right, best costume you've ever worn other than the Spice Girls.
Which Spice Girl were you? I was Ginger.
Oh,
when I'm not
so
dyeing
cute.
My hair, it is actually reddish. But when I was in high school, I was Mrs. Scarlet from Clue, and I was walking around in this like red full outfit and carrying a candlestick with me to all my classes.
So cute. I love that. You sound like you are the type to get into elaborate costumes.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You don't phone it in.
No.
All right, worst costume you've ever worn, and you can go back to childhood for this one.
My mother did make me dress up as a princess once, and in case you haven't caught on, I'm not exactly the princess girl. So, and it was just because it was a costume she was able to get fairly easily, but there was nothing I hated more than the concept of wearing like pink and frills. And
oh my gosh, that's so funny. So my little girl is a princess girl. She's 4, and all she wants to do for Halloween is be scary.
Aww.
Because her princess stuff she wears every day, right? So to her, it's like, it's Halloween, it's got to be scary. So we're going as witches. And then my son's going to be a skeleton again, which he was last year. We all wore skeletons last year. And then my husband wants to be Frankenstein. And I mean, it works. It works. Okay, I have a few more. We're talking about costumes, but we're also talking about pets. So I have to ask you, do you remember any standout pet costume that you've seen that you loved?
I have seen some really good ones. There's one where, and I've only seen it on small dogs, but they dress as Chucky, and when they walk, Chucky's little legs move.
So
but
cute.
My absolute favorite has to be my first Halloween with Lucifer. I went all out with his devil cape and his horns and the whole bit for a Halloween party that we went to, because they actually, at our provincial parks here, they do Halloween where the kids go trick-or-treating on the campsites and everybody decorates their campsites. So we were camping there for it, and he dressed up and helped me hand out Halloween candy as a little devil.
Oh my gosh, and it's so funny because he's literally there snuggling with you, and his name is Lucifer. Like, he should be like bouncing off the walls and like getting into mischief right now, but he's just like sitting there.
Oh, he usually is. Don't let this fool you.
Okay, least favorite Halloween costume on a pet. Any ideas?
Anything that involves putting something over their face. Like, I've seen some people try and make like the version of a mask for a dog, and that is uncomfortable for them. They don't like it. And I don't believe that you should do anything that bothers them or makes them uncomfortable.
Bravo, agreed. 100%, like, if it's gonna be a pain in the butt for your dog, come up with something else. And like, I've met pets that actually enjoyed being in costume. A cat named General comes to mind. He loved his devil costume. They had it, he wore it every year. It was like, they didn't even want to buy him a different one because he like jumped into it. So I get that like some pets, the minority, enjoy costume, but most don't, and none of them want anything covering their faces because it just puts them in such a vulnerable place. So I completely agree with you. Okay, so I want to learn about you. So you go to college for performance and music.
Yes.
Now you live in a cabin and you do SEO and content creation.
Correct.
Tell me about this journey. Oh, wait. And it's specific to the pets, right? You're specifically, all that you do now is specifically in the pet industry, correct?
Pet and outdoor recreation. So I do write for some clients about like outdoor travel.
Awesome. So tell me, how did this happen? Oh my gosh, he's in costume.
He's in his little prison costume.
I have to tell you a story about a prison costume or a shirt that my mom wore. I'm going to tell this story while I pin to you so everybody can see him in his costume. But my mom was wearing a black and white striped shirt. We were getting ready to go out, and my mom comes out in her shirt, and my little girl, who's 3.5, says, yeah, you look like a bad guy, because she's used to seeing black and white shirts, horizontal stripes, as you know, on cartoons, it's always like
funny.
What Lucifer's wearing. Lucifer, you look like a bad guy.
Hey, oh my gosh, Lucifer, a bad guy?
He's so cute.
I spent an hour before this chasing him down because he removed the ear from my skeleton dog and was running around the house, refusing to let me have it back.
Okay, Lucifer, I feel like you've earned your name today. You've earned it. All right. So tell me, how did you go from music performance to working as, you know, all the things that you do now?
Okay. So you're going to laugh because this is totally not the journey anybody would have pictured, because I decided to try on like every different aspect of the world of careers in the book. So good. I went to school for music performance. And then while I was there, because I went away for university, and in the town that I was in, the military had a military band there. And I was music performance on saxophone. So I joined the military band as a volunteer and was performing with the military band, which then led to me actually like swearing to the queen. And I served for 6 years in the army.
Wow.
And then I left the army due to medical reasons, because I'm a cancer survivor. So I had ovarian cancer, and I left when that was all going down. And at that point, I needed to really settle into like a desk type job for a while. So that's when I started my career as an insurance broker. And I was an insurance broker for high value homes, like multi-million dollar homes. And then the insurance industry started changing a bit, and it became more and more about like stick it to the client versus help the client.
Wow.
And that's just not me. Like I loved it when I could be the person who was helping everybody at this the hardest time in their life. But then when it came to, you know, your job is to try and find ways to decline a claim, that just wasn't me. So I went back to school and got my business marketing diploma and started off writing just whatever I could get. Like I was writing in all the niches, general writer, just if you'd pay me, I'd write it.
Right.
And eventually managed to find my way into my niche.
That's amazing. That is so cool. And how about adventuring with your pets? Like when did that happen? Or was that always part of your life?
For me, that was always something. I grew up with very adventure loving parents. And so I've been camping since literally I was born in April and I went camping that June. So I've always, and we always brought the pets with us. So it's just kind of second nature for me. My husband, John, had never been out camping with pets like that until we got together, but he loves it now too. So
that is so cool. Okay. So tell me, how often do you guys adventure? I mean, you live in a cabin, but I've seen your pictures on Instagram. You guys go places and you explore. So tell me about that.
Yeah. So we love being able to check out new places, see new sites, try new hiking trails, or go paddling in new areas. So I would say at least once a month, we go somewhere, sometimes a couple times a month. If it's once a month, it usually tends to be our longer trips. So they could be like a 10-day trip or a 2-week trip. Yeah. And then if we can only go for weekends, we'll try and get like 2 weekends in that month. We just got back recently from Silent Lake Provincial Park, which is in kind of the cottage country area of Ontario. And the leaves were just stunning. And Lucifer and I did a 15-kilometer hike there, which is their longest hike. And the views all around it were just absolutely incredible.
Yeah, your photos on social are so beautiful. I'm not a huge camper and you make me want to go camping. And I really want to take I want my kids to be campers. My husband is. What's interesting is my mom and her dad and them, they did go camping, but Miami's not very much of a camping friendly place. So like, even if my mom had wanted to continue that tradition, it just wasn't really something you want to do in South Florida because alligators are everywhere. So, I mean, I'm sure people camp, but like she wasn't going to. She's scared of everything. She's scared of lizards, for God's sakes. They're like this big. She's screaming. So, you know, I want my kids to, now that we live in El Paso, we're actually pretty close to places where you can safely camp. We're actually 10 minutes from the Franklin Mountain State Park. But I just can't get myself. So I'm so excited you're going to teach me today about camping. But we do need to take a break. When we come back, Britt is going to break down a few Halloween things because it's our Halloween episode. But we're also going to talk about camping with pets and all the things that newbies like me and maybe you need to consider before heading out and pitching your tent. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. CattreeTray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Covered in Pet Hair. I'm your host, Isabel Alvarez-Arada, and today I'm having an awesome, spooky, and festive conversation with Britt Cash Yak.
Yes.
Yeah. from the Cast Pack. If you do not follow the Cast Pack on Instagram and all over social media, you have to, because she is an adventurer. She takes her pets with her on adventures, her husband too. But mostly we learn about how to tame the beasts, the pets, to enjoy camping on human terms, but also in a way that is safe and fun for everyone. So, Britt, thank you for being my guest. But before we get into all the camping details and all the things I need to learn before I head out, I want to play a second game with you. And this is called the Spooky Spectrum. So I'm going to give you some spooky things, just random spooky activities. And you're going to tell me where on the spooky spectrum you lie with these particular activities. So one would be not so into it. Five would be super duper into it. Bring it on. Let's go spooky, super spooky all the way. Are you ready to play?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it. Okay. So where are you on the spooky spectrum when it comes to elaborate Halloween yard displays? One being not into it.
Ten,
five.
Ten.
Ten.
10. I go all out. We actually used to do, I used to live in town before we moved to the cabin, and I play it with a saxophone quartet. We do live music, and we would actually set up in my driveway as part of the display and perform all night while my husband handed out candy.
That is so cool. Okay. All right. So in my neighborhood, we're festive. Like this year, I haven't been so festive because I was gone for 2 weeks and blah, blah, blah. But like, I just drove down a street where they had like a little campfire with two skeletons sitting at it. Super cute. And at night, the campfire has like orange lights in it. So it looks like really cute. And then there was another one that was the scene of like, oh my gosh, Christmas Vacation. Like the whole like Clark Griswold falling off like the roof because he was putting the lights on and they're all like skeletons. And it's super cute. But I usually go for this next one, which is inflatables. So where are you? Is that a one or a five on the spooky spectrum?
Probably a five. I mean, some of them are nice. Some of them are fun. They're not really my thing as much, but
yeah, they're possible for you. Okay. How about booing neighbors? You know that tradition where you boo somebody by leaving them like a little goodie bag on their doorstep? Do you guys do that in Canada?
I've heard of it. I've never done it before.
Okay. Are you into it?
I have heard of it. I think it's a great idea. I love that it brings like a community together. I'd probably say like an eight.
What, just eight? So she's like going over the five. Amazing. Okay. So the only time I've ever been booed, or actually I may have been booed here, but it was like, can't remember. But the first time I was booed, I was in Northern Virginia and I had never heard of booing. And we had just moved into a neighborhood and our neighbors were so sweet. It was just like a really tight knit community and they booed us. And then we felt like obligated to like boo them back. And it was just like a little bit stressful because I wasn't aware or familiar with the tradition. So anybody who's never been booed, just look it up. I mean, you don't have to boo them back, but if you really want to get ahead of it, boo your whole neighborhood. So then you're the first one to do it. And you don't have to like spend a lot of money. I think these people went to like Five and Dime and like, you know, Five Below and like just bought us like a couple things and like put it in like a little basket. It was really cute, but I'm a five on the booing for sure. Okay, conversations about encounters with ghosts. Where are you on the spectrum? One, okay. Not into it. Five, super into it.
Then I love all things paranormal.
You do. Me too. So you believe in ghosts?
I do, and I'm going to tell you a very quick story about our cabin here, which you're absolutely going to love if you love like ghosts and spooky. And so the guy who originally built this cabin actually came and was touring the property because he hadn't seen it in years. Like, he's an older gentleman and has to walk with a cane and somebody helping hold him up so that he can make his way down the trails. But his worker had asked us if he could come back because he just kind of wanted to see that property one last time kind of thing, right? As we're walking along the property, he had mentioned something about the fact that he had buried his family dogs here, which, I mean, a lot of pet parents do. You bury them at home.
Yeah.
So we had asked him, if we walk past the graveyard area, let us know, because I'll make sure moving forward we don't disturb that, right? Like, I understand that's important. I'll do this for you. I'll make sure that that area stays undisturbed. So we're walking along the road, and he's like, oh, yeah, and then right here, this is where the dogs are. And then without missing a beat, and I didn't know this was coming, he goes, oh, and right over there is where I buried my mom. So that turned into a whole thing, because at that point in time, you have to report it because there's a body on the property. So you end up with the cops out here and the whole bit. Oh, yeah, it was. So there's a body buried on my property.
Oh my gosh. So what's really funny is that's reminding me of the have you seen the show Ghosts? They have a British version and American version. And I think it was they found the body down like down in the basement or something, and they had to like have somebody come and like take it, and then she had to pretend she couldn't talk to the ghost and all that. If you haven't seen Ghosts, I don't care which one you watch, the British one or the American one, they're both fantastic. My husband and I watch both. It's pretty much the same storyline, but we love it so much we watch both whenever new episodes come out. It's called Ghosts, and I think it's on Paramount. One, at least one of them's on Paramount. Anyway, that is such a cool story. So, like, how long did it take for, like, the cops to, like, do all that they needed to do?
It was a few weeks. It was a few weeks.
Did it cost you anything? Like, does it...
No.
Like, does... Okay, good. So, like, it's not like it's coming with... I know Canada has a very complex history with things like that, so I'm sure they were trying to be super extra cautious.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. Totally, it didn't cost us anything, but they had to be, like, very careful with every step along the way, which is why it took so long. Because even though we knew, like... We knew how many bodies there were, where the body was, et cetera, and so on. And yet it still took that long because of all the steps they had to take.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You have to show respect to any remains, of course. And that, I feel like the people who believe in ghosts are even more, like, sensitive to that.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure. And then, like, you know how they always say, like, pets can see them or we can't? It is not uncommon at all for my pets to be, like, looking out the windows and stuff at night around here. And I don't doubt it one bit.
Oh my god, that's so funny, because that is one of my questions, so you already answered it. You are totally on the spectrum of a 10 on that, whether or not pets can see ghosts. So funny. Okay, witchcraft, like cauldrons and frog's feet and crow's feather and whatever it is that they do. Are you into it?
Oh yes, I have my crystals and my tarot cards and everything else here, so yes.
Oh my gosh, so in the little witches that I created for the party, one of them is... the mystic bruja. So you would be the mystic bruja because you're into the all things mystical. I love that so much. Okay, okay, you already talked about it earlier and you're referencing it now. Do you believe in spells?
Yes, I do.
I am believe that somebody can put a spell on somebody?
Yeah, I'm a practicing pagan and I do believe that you can use the energies of the world and manipulate them isn't really the right word, but you know what I mean. Like, you can get in tune with the energies of the world and change them, alter them.
Whoa. Ooh. All right, haunted houses.
It depends. Ooh. So I don't find haunted houses scary. I've never been to one that I found scary. So if I go with the expectation that I want to be scared, it's usually a disappointment. And that's probably closer to like a 5 or 6. But the ones that make it into more of like a comical, entertaining type haunted house, because I'm not going with the expectation of being scared, I tend to enjoy those more. So those are probably more an 8 or a 9 because nothing's letting me down. They're funny.
Okay, so I would much prefer a funny haunted house. I'm not big on being spooked or scared. Like, I don't like that. I don't think it's allowed now, but like when I was younger, they would like grab at you.
Yep.
Definitely didn't like that. On the spooky spectrum, I'm at like a 0, which is less than the bottom because I don't like haunted houses, but I will do a funny one. Absolutely. The ability for pets to see ghosts, you already said. Pumpkin carving. Into it, not into it?
I enjoy it. We did a lot when we used to do up the house with the like live music and everything. So I know the 1 year we had 42 jack-o'-lanterns across the property. We actually spelt it the name of our quartet with like a letter for pumpkin and the whole bit. Like, it was this huge fancy display. So probably an 8 or a 9. Like, I really enjoy it. It's not my favorite part of Halloween, but like, Halloween's not the same without it.
Yeah. So I don't do a lot of pumpkin carving, but I love my friend Monica's pumpkin carving event that she does every year. She's in Racertown, Maryland, so I don't get to go. But I've been a few times when I was on the East Coast. And I am a terrible pumpkin carver, but like, there's booze and there's merrymaking and yummy food, and Monica always throws a good party, so it's a 10 for me on pumpkin carving at the Leal Pretty household. Okay, trick-or-treating. Are you the trick-or-treater or are you the one giving out the candy?
Well, here, neither, because nobody comes into the middle of the woods to get candy.
I mean, the ones who really are adventurous would. I feel like that would be the best trick-or-treating ever.
We do keep some here just in case somebody actually, you know, braves and comes in. But when I was back in town, I loved giving out candy and seeing all the little kids in their costumes. Yeah.
Yes, I know. That's actually my favorite part too. And now that I have little kids, I have to go trick-or-treating, which it's fine because we do it with friends and neighbors. We usually have a cocktail, not this overt, but we usually take a cocktail with us. But I do prefer just staying home and like seeing the kids. What we do normally is, because I have little kids, we'll like end the trick-or-treating for them at like 8, and then we'll do like 8 to 9 at our front door. So we get a little bit of that. Things you do when you have kids. All right. Scary stories around the fire when camping.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's like a staple. You have to do spooky stories around the campfire.
Okay. So do you have a favorite story to tell when you are around the campfire, or one that you've heard that you like really like?
There was a really good one, and I can't remember it to tell it. I couldn't do justice to properly tell it right now. But there was one that I heard when I was in university that was about the university itself. And it was believed that the dorm I stayed in was haunted. Mm-hmm. And it was like telling the story of the young girl and how she passed and why she's still in the dorm and why she pushes people down the stairs and things like that. So because Ooh. It was local, I think that's what I love.
Yeah,
because it like makes it special. It makes that connection. I love the idea of like local ghost stories, like something that connects to where you're from or a place that you go to regularly, or something that gives it that kind of personal touch, because it just makes it much more real than Agreed. Just some like phantom in some world somewhere something happened.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, last question for the game. Have you seen a ghost?
Seen? I don't know. Experienced? Yes. But somebody has seen a ghost near me. When I moved into university, so my dad passed when I was 15. I was always daddy's girl.
I'm sorry to hear that.
When I moved into university and I was unpacking all of my stuff, some of the things I would take out would be like little, mementos and special things to kind of make your dorm room yours, right? And I went to bed the one night, and our dorm room here that I stayed in, it was two people per room. So you shared the room with your bed on each side kind of set up, right? And my roommate, I woke up to her screaming and locking herself in our bathroom. And so I go to get her out, and I'm like, girl, what's going on? And she's like, there was a man in here. He was sitting on the end of your bed. I don't know how you didn't see him. Like, he was sitting on the end of your bed. And I finally calmed her down and showed her like, all the doors are locked. There's nobody here. It's just you and I. You're okay. Go back to bed. The next day when I finished unpacking, I pulled out a photo of my dad and put it up on my shelf. And she screamed again, and she's like, that's the man. That's the man who's sitting on the end of your bed. That's who I saw. Who is that? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I have a similar story. My former business partner, we had opened an office. She had lost her dad. She was a little bit older, but she had lost him in within the 5 years of this happening. And my office had like the door over here, and I could kind of see into the hallway that led to the main area, and her office was to the left. And I remember working and seeing just the pant leg of a man and brown work loafer looking shoes. And I remember being like, how did this person get in here? And I get up to be, because I assumed it was a client. I get up to greet this person. Is that as I'm getting up, I'm looking up and there's nobody there. So I only saw from the knee down. And I told Beth, and Beth was like, what was he wearing? I'm describing it. And I'm like, I knew immediately. I was like, that's your dad. Your dad's here.
Yeah.
He was wearing khakis, like work khakis, not like cargo khakis, but like work khakis and like brown work loafers, like every government contractor wears in the DC area. And he was just walking slowly toward her office. It was so crazy. Aww. And I love to think that, obviously our, when we lose, I'm very lucky and both my parents are still here, but when we lose our parents, it's so catastrophic that the thought of still having them near, especially at a monumental occasion like moving into college,
yeah.
is one of the best things it's about so believing in ghosts.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I'm so happy you had that experience. I'm so sorry for your roommate. That was probably terrifying. But you were probably
she was calm after she found out who it was.
Oh, that's so good. So she's a believer too.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So after she knew who it was, and that's why even as she was trying to calm down and freak herself out, she's like, who is that? I need to know who that is, because that's who I saw.
That's amazing. That is so cool. I love ghost stories. I personally don't feel we have a funny saying in my family. I'm sure a lot of families say this, but the ghosts aren't the ones we should be worrying about. It's the ones that are alive that we really should be worried about. Mm-hmm. But I love a ghost story, especially when it's somebody close. So thank you for sharing that. Was your dad a big camper? as well? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So what did you learn from your parents that you now teach people who follow you?
The biggest thing that I learned is I learned from a very young age how to basically survive in the wilderness if I needed to. So like building fire and setting up a shelter, whether you have a tent with you or not. Like if you got lost somewhere, can you survive overnight?
No, I cannot. I know for a fact I cannot, but that's amazing that they taught you that.
Yeah. So, and that's something that now moving forward, like depending on camping people do, one of the big things that I always push is that you have to be prepared for the fact that you might have to survive for a period of time. If, for example, you're backpacking and you get lost in the forest, or if you're trailer camping, let's say you're trailer camping, and I'm going to use this as an example because it actually happened here in Ontario, but let's say you're trailer camping and a tornado comes through the area and you can't get your trailer and stuff out because of where the trees are down.
Are you
prepared? Do you have what you need to stay in that trailer an extra day or two until they're able to clear things out to get you out? Because one of our local parks, Bon Echo, they're still clearing out trees that had been knocked down when the tornado went through. Nobody was injured.
Gosh.
But like, are you prepared if something like that happens? Because we can't control the weather.
Right.
Could you survive for an extra day or two? And that's something that everybody needs to think about anytime that they're heading out for any type of outdoor adventure. It's the little things. It's like, are you packing just enough dog food, or are you packing enough for a couple extra days in case you're out there? Do you have enough water, or do you have a water filter so you can at least access drinkable water? Like those little elements to make sure that you at least will have the basics if something happens.
Does taking pets add a layer of planning, and how would you describe that extra bit of planning?
It does. And it's no different than like if you're bringing kids, you have to make sure you have all the gear for your kid to be safe. If you're bringing your spouse, you're going to bring double the stuff in terms of like food and water and survival elements than you would on your own. And pets are kind of the same way.
Right.
The bonus is that the pets tend to enjoy snuggling in with us at night a little bit more. So I don't need an extra air mattress for my pets, an extra sleeping bag, and a twice as big a tent. Like, we still camp in a 3-person tent with all of our pets.
Got it.
Because they snuggle right in with us, and it's great, and it's easy, and you can do that. But
perfect.
It's like, you have to think about all the elements of what they need to not only survive, but to enjoy the trip as well. Like, for example, do you have a dog that likes to play? Lucifer plays fetch. He plays fetch in the water. He plays fetch in the land. He doesn't care where he is. He needs something that can be thrown to enjoy a game of fetch. So I have to make sure that I have something there for him, or else it's going to take away from his experience when he's there.
Right. Absolutely. Okay. So for newbies, we're like, I'm going to take my dog and my cat. So obviously dogs and cats are going to be different. They're going to need different things. Let's start with cats, because I feel like they might need a little bit more just from my, like, obviously I was a pet sitter 12 plus years. I kind of understand the equipment involved with travel and pets. How complex is it to take a cat camping?
It is a little bit more complex, mainly because there is no such thing as an escape-proof harness for a cat. Cats are sneaky. They are able to, if you left them to their own devices, they will eventually get out of anything you put on them. So we don't trust harnesses personally as a long-term fix. Like, I'll put on a harness to go hiking with them where I'm watching them and moving with them and whatnot. But if I'm hanging around the campsite, I don't trust that they're going to stay in that harness. And so we have to pack an extra element to be able to put them in. So we bring a pen with a covered top that they can go in, and their litter box is in there, and their toys are in there, and they're happy and content and good. We also bring a foldable playpen that we put in the tent for them when we bring the cats. A, because it keeps the litter box in there away from the dogs, because, you know, dogs get tempted.
Yeah.
And B, because, and you're going to laugh about this as a pet lover, people seem to think it's because we're protecting them from the dogs, which is not the case at all. It's because my senior cat Pippin and my senior dog Daviana will play all night long and not sleep at all if I don't keep them separated.
That is so awesome. I love that so much. But yeah, I can understand why that would be not ideal.
Yeah, so the cats sleep in the playpen, and I just close up the playpen so that the cats will stay in there, and then the dogs stay out with us, and that way we can actually get some sleep. Whereas in the morning, I'll open it up. Like, we get up a little bit earlier, but we don't necessarily get out of the tent right away. And I'll open up the playpen and let the cats out, and everybody kind of plays and has a good time, and it's great. But when it's sleep time, like, we need to be separate.
Yeah, no, I hear that. Totally. I mean, it's like having kids, and they keep each other up, and you're like, get to sleep. So I hear that. I mean, I love that they have such a good bond. I'm surprised that the dog wants to play late. I'm not surprised that the cat wants to play late.
Dab's always been, she'll stay up late without a problem, but she's not a morning dog.
Ah, got it.
So don't wake her up before she wants to get up in the morning.
Yeah. Okay. So dogs, you are obviously going to keep them maybe on a tie out when you're hanging out.
It depends on where we're going and how much gear we want to bring. So like this past trip that we did, it was a walk-in site. So you obviously don't want to bring a whole lot of extra heavy gear. So the dogs were tied out. And we use biothane leashes for dogs and cats, both for the shorter leash that we walk with, as well as for the long lines that we use to tie out, because they can be cleaned so easy. Like they're stink proof, they're waterproof. You just wipe them down and they're clean, rinse them off, they're clean. So for that trip, we brought the biothane long lines for the dogs. But if I was to go back and look at the trip before that, it was a drive-in site where we could drive the car right onto the campsite. And when we do that, we tend to bring our pens, our exercise pens. And we set up an area that the dogs can run loose in. And it's in that area that we put like our camp chairs, and we set it up so that the fire pit's in there. And that becomes kind of like our family hangout area where we don't have to have them on a tie out.
Very cool. Okay. Yeah. And when they're tied out, you're obviously nearby and supervising. I'm not a big fan of people just tying their dogs out in the backyard or the front yard and walking away. That is not what we're saying here. Right, Britt?
Correct. Actually, you should never leave your dog alone on a campsite ever, period. Not in a tent, not in a trailer, not tied out, not in a pen. They should never be left alone on a campsite because there's just too many elements that you can't control.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that. Okay, so what kind of resources, other than the amazing tips you've given us already, do you teach your community?
Yeah, so we have several different elements depending on the style of camping that people do and where they want to camp. So for people who are local or wanting to come local, come visit the Ontario area, we do have campsite reviews where we go and we actually record and review a campsite from a pet perspective. So it's a very specific, as a pet parent, here is what you need to know type review of the location. And that is on our YouTube channel, as well as we put the transcripts on our blog, our website, thecaspack.com. Also on thecaspack.com, we have sections for different elements of things that you probably should know if you're going out regularly. Things like swimmer's itch. Did you know dogs can get swimmer's itch? Just like people, they can get it. So learning how to recognize that and what you should do, or first aid. First aid is a big one. We actually have free printable checklists on the website that anybody can, you join the mailing list and we send it over to you. And they are a camping and a hiking specific one that are pet focused, so that it includes the additional elements you might not think of that a pet might actually need in an emergency that a human doesn't.
Absolutely. A pet first aid kit and a human first aid kit are totally different. And if you're going to be doing this regularly with your pets, definitely invest in your own pet first aid kit and bring your human first aid kit as you normally would.
Yeah. And we actually carry two first aid kits for most of our trips, because if I'm out hiking, I'm not going to lug the whole big camp one. So we have a smaller hiking one that is designed just to cover the bare necessities to get you back out of the hiking trail, whereas the bigger one stays on the campsite. Because some of the hikes that we do, like I said, I'm not just going for a little half hour hike. Like we hiked 15 kilometers, which is almost 10 miles this last trip. And so if you're out in the middle of that hiking trail, you got a place to go before you're getting back to the trailhead again.
Agreed. Yeah, you need to stop bleeding or remove some kind of something with a tweezer, all those key things. I'm a pet first aid instructor, so everything you're saying is music to my ears. So thank you. Okay, so how can my audience learn more about you? And do you have like any Facebook groups and things that you do where people can join?
We do. We have now our Facebook groups are regional. So I have two Facebook groups right now. I have a 15,000 member group called Camping and Hiking with Dogs Ontario. And it's for anybody who either lives in Ontario or comes to Ontario to adventure and spend time outdoors. And then because a lot of questions rose about the idea of cats and the fact that we bring cats along, we created the sister group, Camping and Hiking with Cats Ontario. So both of those are on Facebook. Our main social media, though, is actually TikTok. We absolutely love our TikTok community. We go live on there, or try to go live on there, at least a couple times every week to answer questions. And we are very consistent over there. And that is just at the CASPAC.
Perfect. Well, I want to propose a toast to you for sharing your knowledge with me and my audience, for sharing your love of Halloween with me and my audience. Here's to you. Thank you so much and happy spooky season.
Happy spooky season and thank you.
It was truly my pleasure. I also want to propose a toast to my executive producer, Mark Winter. Thank you, Mark. Here's to you. And I'm sure your grandchildren are going to be adorable in their costumes this year. My kids are going to be, like I said, a skeleton and a witch. I think we'll see. We're still figuring
it
out.
Time to change.
Exactly. I also want to propose a toast to the viewers on YouTube and the listeners on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for joining us for these awesome conversations. I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I did, and I hope you have a safe and happy Halloween, Dia de los Muertos, whatever you celebrate this time of year. There is a pagan holiday around here, right?
Samhain.
Can you say that again?
Samhain.
Samhain.
It's the belief. It's the belief that the curtain between the living and the dead is at its thinnest, and that our spirits, especially spirits of our ancestors, come and move amongst us for the day.
Amazing. All right. Well, cheers to everybody who celebrates.
Samhain.
Samhain. Cheers. Thank you again. Here's to a life covered in pet hair, because there's no better way to live. Cheers. To learn more about Covered in Pet Hair, please visit coveredinpethair.com or petliferadio.com and find us on social media at Covered in Pet Hair. Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you next time.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.